I'm Erica George. I'm running Webcast. I work at Berkman Center.
I'm David Weinberger. I'm a fellow at the Berkman Center, and it's my pleasure to introduce Joshua Schachter, who has actually, before Delicious, done a number of really interesting, good-hearted, high-tech things. You have. I was going to call him a serial entrepreneur, but that implies that you're out making money doing it. And I realized this morning that he's actually an inventor. It's what we used to call an inventor, except that he's working with the web instead of the coils and filaments and stuff. Delicious is his latest. It's, as you know, really kicked off the current interest in tagging. And it has became so successful that Joshua's now turning it into an actual business. So, Joshua Schachter.
Hi. I didn't actually prepare anything, so this will be short to start. I built Delicious in 2003. It was a follow-on to a predecessor system, something that I built to manage my own bookmarks. A thing called Muxway, which is now long gone. And I built that because I had a text file of links that eventually was 20,000 items long. And of course, if I had an internet connection, I could show you because I still have it. But 20 or so lines into the file, it says there's a link. And then, you know, I'd already gotten sort of frustrated with finding things, you know, just a little bit in. So there's a link, a space, a hash, and then it says map. And that was the first tag item. Although I didn't think about it as, you know, tags for years and years. I must have started that in, you know, the late 90s or so. I ran a thing called Meanpool, which was a blog before that word was around, which has, I think, has fallen into disrepair at this point because the Delicious thing takes up all my time. And that's roughly the how it got started. So I think that is actually, what else should I talk about here? I'm not quite sure. Any other questions or?
How did tagging get social with Delicious?
You know, I had been talking to someone and sort of wondered, I had actually been sort of frustrated with Meanpool being boring. You know, it's very hard to write. The editorial process was kind of painful. This was a blog with, you know, 100 or so authors, and I had wanted to do something that was a cross between the much shorter links, the much lighter weight linking of the Muxway thing, and a collaborative blog like Meanpool. And I said to someone, you know, I should do something that's sort of halfway between these two. And a friend of mine replied, well, why not do something halfway between Muxway and Friendster instead? That'll be much bigger. So I did that. And that's, you know, so the predecessor system had tagging, but didn't have social. So that's what I added in the next round. That's their answer.
Tell us what it means.
What it means?
Yeah.
What does what mean?
Instant success, right? You have people, you know, bang down your door to give you money to make it go. You have, you know, thousands of people, maybe more, around the world trying to figure it out.
I mean, it's interesting. I'm not sure what it means yet, right? That's something I still think about, right? I think certainly it means what people are paying attention and people paying attention to other people's attention. And how to, you know, that's one problem, right? That's one axis of why it is valuable. And then next to it is, you know, how people categorize, what that, you know, that's the challenge is there, because that's also a very difficult problem, right? So, I mean, it's interesting. I end up in a lot of, I guess, fairly hostile arguments as to tagging and why it's wrong. I sort of end up having to argue the other side, but I'm not sure, you know, entirely sure I'm convinced either way. So that's also a challenge.
Well, no, I can't.
Come on.
There's about 5 million links, about I guess north of 10 million posts, and an average is about 2 links per 2 tags per item on average. Some much more about Spammer today, apparently. Sorry. Well, I mean, language is tough, right? I mean, what do what language is an abbreviation or whatever, right? Or a acronym, rather. There is a lot of that. People, you know, because it's a single word, people tend to be incredibly brief or terse. So I think that there's a lot of overlap, even across languages, with the term. So, you know, what language is Java in, for example?
Right, but, I mean, there's a lot of Chinese.
There were a lot more before they cut us off at the firewall.
Right.
The Chinese firewall blocks us now.
It does.
Yeah.
So. I haven't really had a chance to look. It's enough that people complain about it. And I'm loath to do anything because I like the fact that people sort of get the hint that there are other languages that other than English. So they don't want to see foreign language stuff on Delicious. And it's an even more complicated problem because, of course, the thing linked to may be in some language and the description may be in some other language. So it's twice as hard to negotiate, actually.
How many unique tags are there?
About 500,000.
How is that? Do you know what the curve is for the growth of that? Is that leveling out?
It grows relatively slowly because, you know, most of the time when someone uses a tag, someone else has already used it.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Stephen.
There was a common thread on Flash.com maybe 9 months ago. Delicious is getting used by all these people who aren't like us. They're not techy enough. They're talking about non-technical topics. You know, how the hell do we get around with it? Is that an interest of yours? I mean, do you have a horse in the race as far as whether Delicious gets more widely used by less and less techy users, or are you interested in seeing largely a phenomenon that's formed by people?
Well. I want it to be a larger phenomenon in general, but I think there's two things here. One, a while ago, I don't know if anyone's ever seen Tim O'Reilly's presentation. Pretty much, he only gives one presentation about at every conference. For them to write a book about something that's cool now, they had to figure out that it was going to be cool 18 months ago, and how do they do that? And he's got 15 ways. He went into a very in-depth at boot camp, and then I never sat through the presentation again. But I went in. I said, "Well, you know, Delicious tag data. This is maybe another way, another thing you can add to your repertoire." So I went in, and of course, the problem is that everything in Delicious is always arcing up. So everything gets absolutely more popular. So the idea was to figure out, you know, given all these tech tags and figure out what their relative popularity was. So, you know, out of, you know, 250,000 tags today, how many of those were Ajax? And then, you know, on a relative basis, what's growing and what's shrinking? And you see, you know, the obvious stuff, you know, Ajax pops up really big, DHTML a little bit so much, Ruby and Ruby on Rails also big pops up. But on average, everything was down, right? And I was sort of confused by this, and then I realized that over time, you know, that the hardcore tech stuff had gone from, you know, and I finally went in and analyzed the numbers, had gone from about 25% of items to about, you know, about 17 or so percent over from the beginning of the year till now. So it is starting to, interests are starting to broaden, right? And especially because when someone comes into the system and they're into technology, but they're also into, you know, three other things, right? So now Delicious begins to become a usable resource for these other topics, right? So I think of it sort of, you know, the vertical interests, but it's also spreading out to smaller ones, and those will magnify over time as well. Sorry, one more. The interesting part is because of the tagging, people can sort of express themselves as multiple, you know, it's not one person who's interested in seven things. Because they're self-classifying the tags, that people can be, you know, be several vectors of interest, and Delicious doesn't get them confused, right? They manage to stay different within the system. So that makes analysis quite a lot easier, rather than the Amazon, you know, people, you know, you buy a gift, a book is a gift for somebody, and it starts giving you weird recommendations. That doesn't really happen in Delicious.
So how would you describe Delicious to a total way to
it's a way to remember things. Links in the future, more kinds of stuff. We're getting ready to add a couple more types. So it's a way to remember things you've seen and keep them remembered.
If I was trying to encourage this person or group of people to experiment with using Delicious,
I would probably show them your own RSS feed or something, you know, to get you can do, to tell you that there's not only that, but there's other people there, and you can see what other people are looking at and keep up to date more easily with their colleagues and so on. Wish I had a really glib elevator pitch, but I don't.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, sorry.
What are the prospects for what needs to happen for performance?
Performance?
Yeah.
We're continually upgrading the hardware. We have a full rack of stuff now. It's continually getting pounded on. Probably the next big thing is to buy a Netscaler to keep the people who are the aggressive spiders out. People are continually trying to scrape the tags out of the system. It's, you know, at times it's a full half the traffic.
Can you give any thought to the sort of, I mean, obviously you've got a lot of tags, Twitter has a lot of tags. Have you given any thought or have you seen any interesting things to sort of integrating those tags? I mean, your tags about cats and Twitter tags about cats, there's obviously some interesting overlap there, right?
One issue is that I think I could do something where Delicious and Flickr are somehow integrated because it's your stuff and your stuff, right? There's several different types of tagging out there, and the what gets tagged, who's tagging it, you know, that kind of stuff. You have a very big spread, right? It's your blog post being tagged by you, right? Versus your blog post being tagged by anybody else, right? So they have different semantics there. So I still have to think about how these things really fit together before they can be, you know, okay, well, it's a thing with a bunch of names and we'll glob it together somehow. But that doesn't necessarily get to, you know, the point where, you know, everything all fits together cleanly. Probably the best thing now would be a desktop app of some sort that syncs these things down. We did buy delicious.com.
I was wondering, is that part of the, I mean, so I sort of, because of that, because I'm kind of an RSS feed, I sort of think about Delicious as a type of, you know, the infrastructure piece rather than as a website or in the destination piece.
We are starting, I mean, so I have finally hired people who have different user interface sensibilities than I do. We do worry about, you know, changing things that are, you know, intentionally freaky. The other issue is that we have done one round of user interface testing. You know, the glass, you know, the one-way mirror, and the person who's never seen it before. You know, and that was an entirely terrifying day. But we also tested two of the competitors, and people actually, once they figure out what the point was, so like the front page is incredibly scary, the URL is incredibly scary. Once we get through these things, I think we'll actually have a lot better traction, because people actually like the interface once they understood what was happening. You know, the actual it does what it does without a lot of, you know, jokesy crap on the screen and so on. So. Right.
Well,
think about it. You're gonna. just think about it, right? People are going to, stuff that is more interesting in general to people is going to get tagged more.
Yeah.
In Technorati tags, a person's going to tag all their own stuff.
Right. You
always. I'm not sure how to proselytize that, right? I mean, I don't know how other people would use delicious tags. Unfortunately, that's the thing. I think on one side, right, there's the technology of it, that people can come in and do things with the API. On the other side of it, it is sort of a political statement and saying it's your data and you get access to it, you know, if you can code, you know, which is kind of a problem. But other people are starting to make it easier for people to actually access the API, you know, Firefox plugins. I mean, and the third thing was laziness. You know, I didn't want to write a Firefox plugin. I have no interest in learning how to do that. I have other stuff to do. So if I give the interface away, maybe someone will do that. I think they wanted to do that with everybody that had an API, and we were the only ones. So. So that was that, I think. Yeah, I think they realized the pain of that on top of building other products. I mean, I went by their offices, which was kind of interesting, but they seemed pretty stressed out with just the one product. It's a way for people to go and find and discover stuff that's interesting to other people, right? It's the same model as any other sort of advertising back discovery engine like Google or whoever, you know, we can search engine. Right now we're working on a way to, well, it's probably not going to be for people who are using it. Will probably, you know, they're paying us with information, right? So there's already, for example, on a given day there's 10 times the number of people who are not logged in wandering the site as logged in. So we'll do something with that. You know, there's no need to do anything with actual users. Currently, we're not worried about it. Just focusing on the product. And when the product is better, it can bear it.
What was
that?
There was a big spike in
Alexa. Oh, on Alexa? That's on every site. I don't know what that is. That's nothing. Yeah.
You
tantalized
at the beginning talking about your violent arguments about tagging. And that didn't really
I mean, I see it as tagging is something that's something like 25% categorization and 75% user interface, right? It's easy to do, so people do it. If I had started off and imported the hierarchy out of DMOS or something, right, and said, okay, please drop down these 17,000 things and find exactly where they should go, people would have said, screw this, and left, right? So it's the easiest thing that people could do and get any signal out of at all, right? So because it's not a great categorization tool, that it ends up with, you know, sometimes not great categorizations, although it's very useful to the people who are doing it, right? Which is the point of it being, you know, user interface over pure categorization task. You know, and the fact that people tag things as read later, you know, which is incredibly useful to them, I'm sure, but not useful to, you know, things in general, although it is really neat, right? The argument is, you know, I mean, I was somewhere and someone said, well, you have to admit that biology is strictly under science and not under any other thing. And I said, well, what about stem cells are under biology? And, you know, so it doesn't really fit, right? I spent a lot of time, you know, working with, you know, more fuzzy models of the world to have to need to accept some discrete reality. You know, it could be 30% biology, and, you know, or maybe it's biology, you know, approximately. And if that's how people remember it, then that's close enough.
It sounds like the other side of those arguments with people who don't like how messy.
Right. Librarians, sure.
Well, semantic web.
I'm not sure that the semantic web is incompatible, but go on.
Well,
Yeah, they don't like how messy it is. If I had one, I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect categorization, right? So as soon as you accept that, then you sort of have to go down to the other side. You know, there is value in controlled vocabularies and official metadata and so on, but that's not how people think, and that doesn't really map to the task, which is not, you know, I'm not putting things out there so people can categorize the web, it's so that they can find things later. And that is a very different goal. People do go back and sort of prune their gardens. We need to apply better, give better tools, but they do go back and trim their data garden or whatever it is. They do go back quite a lot. You know, people end up with tags. You know, and I try and hint that by making a faded tag that it's only got one thing in here, and people go back and rename those a lot.
You referenced before the idea that malicious is somewhere halfway between what you're doing with network marketing and friends. And certainly I know for some of us, we've actually found people through malicious. Fairly early on in the game, I was one of four people using the Africa tag, and I rather than met the other three. I'm wondering if you've thought about making that more explicit. It wouldn't be all that hard to just run an algorithm where you basically say, here's an uncommon link, you have it in common with someone else.
We do that. If you click on an item with more than 10, a tag with more than 10 items in it, I recommend other people's other tags. So your Africa tag is like someone else's, you know, emerging tag.
Right. I guess I'm wondering if you've ever done sort of matchmaking across the board, in the sense that
it doesn't,
looking at all of your vectors, doing a collaborative filtering approach, here's your nearest dot product.
I wrote the code to do that. The results weren't as pleasing as recommending a aspect of a person rather than a whole person, right? So recommending person to person is a little, it's just kind of fuzzy and weird. It tended to be dominated by people who have more tags in general. It's not really, you know, if you really want to go meet the guy with 17,000 bookmarks, which is me, so you're here.
So you said very briefly, you're not sure the password is meant to put. I think that's very interesting. You use the background to the Creative Commons threat.
And the Creative Commons threat to the W3 panel, the W3 panel.
So I'd really like to hear more about your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, it's easy enough to express like your tags in RDF, right? You just make up a new URI to every tag, right? So expressing as RDF is easy enough. Doing OWL or whatever is as hard as everything else is, which is all, you know, impossibly hard. So that's why I figured it was not completely incompatible, at least.
As a former .com CTR, I'm really interested in scaling and how you manage that. Can you speak a little bit about the infrastructure, what it's written in, what the database is?
It's written in shell scripts. Just kidding. It's mod Perl. We use something called Mason to organize the front end. The back end is SQL. It was basically a traditional traditional LAMP stack. Well, a lot of stuff is no longer written in that. It's not that bad, but it does SQL. The queries don't really map to SQL particularly well. So right now we have lots and lots of replicas of the database for scaling, which is not particularly good. The database itself is not all that large yet. It still fits on a single disk. The data is just not that big. The search engine and the recommendation engine. The search engine is a full text store, and the recommendation engine is a database I wrote by hand. So it's BreakfastDB and other stuff.
You have multiple copies of the building servers.
Basically, yeah.
Round robin.
No, we have a we're using Perlval in front, the live journal balancing proxy, which is interesting and weird in its own right.
Have you done any tests to see what scaling up is going to do, tenfold increase, something like that?
Well, we're continuing to cut up the database. So, like every user you know, users can be on their own web server database cluster, and then the tag. I mean, the issue is that there's like three different problems here, right? There's the full text search thing, there's the searching across tags or across the world, and then there's an individual user problem. An individual user, if they post something, they want to be on their page right now, right? Well, but I mean, and we can you can have server affinities or whatever. That's not a lot harder, right? So that each user data store, we can cut that up. You know, we can scale that out sideways, no problem. And then we index all the separate things, you know, slash tag or whatever. You know, indexing by tag and not by user. That can be a little bit delayed, right? That doesn't have to be completely real time. That can be a few minutes behind. No one will notice.
Okay. I find it really interesting that when you talk about, when you give your elevator pitch, such as it is, you stress the use of this for individuals so they can find stuff.
Right.
At least some set of users, and much of the, I think, the excitement about it is around the social side of it. How do you see that playing out? Are you going to focus Delicious more and more on... where's your heart on this? Is it really to help individual users, or are you going to ramp up?
I mean, I think it has to be useful for social purposes first and foremost, right? If it's not useful to you, why would you use it, right? What's that?
Useful to yourself first.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Why, you know, I mean, people tend not to have a great history of doing things for the community in general, right? So I'm trying to make it so that you are able to, and it is useful for selfish purposes only, right? Then on top of that, you can build more structure, group structure, so on and so forth, right? So to that end, we're going to put in, you know, we put in the tagging an item for another person. And that has functionality but no interface yet, and we're working on that. Group tags are also coming shortly, which are just going to be a kind of tag that's sort of lightly permissioned. I look at NP Tech and said, this is great. You know, every time someone does something I didn't quite expect, I look in it and say, you know, that's neat. Do we want to amplify that? Do we ignore that? Or do we dampen that? In the case of people collectively organizing around a tag, I think you want to amplify that, right? You know, lots of other, you know, lots of behavior like that we can look at. So lots of group stuff. I mean, basically, we're trying to put in privacy now. It's a little bit of a challenge to do that and make it go fast, so it's not going to happen until then. And then on top of that, groups are the next feature after that.
So you're able to create in a Friendster-ish way, say these are the people in my various groups, see those tags.
So basically,
high tags, mothers, weight those tags up here.
You would tag an item as for a group, right? So you would tag, you know, you'd be bookmarking something, and then and this is also for group colon NP Tech instead of just plain NP Tech. You know, if you wanted to have a permission group, which you probably don't, right? So,
More, I think you more.
Well, it would be nice, like, for example, if for example, the idea is anyone allowed to post to the group, or only members allowed to post, and is anyone allowed to see the group, or can only members see the group, right? So there's basically two settings there, right? You'd allow anyone to post and anyone to see the group, and then maybe can anyone join also, right? So you maybe want to see a list of everyone who uses the NP Tech tag. There's a couple of things you could do, popular items within there, a homepage for it with a link, like it's a user or something like that. But in your case, it doesn't need particularly much more gloss, right? Okay. I don't know what's up with that. That's odd. I'll look into it, though. That sounds weird. I mean, no one's really been complaining about RSS feeds being down or anything.
Maybe
I'm sorry, Amanda was going to go next. I already cut her off once, so thank you.
I had a question outside of tagging. You talked about how it's much better that users get to essentially define both the architecture of the system and how it works. And I was wondering, outside of tagging, and I know a lot of things obviously online have happened that way, but do you think, is there any application or program, whatever it is, that you think would be much better off if the people who had started it had worked around that philosophy, as opposed to setting a fairly crystallized structure up front and forcing people to do that?
I mean, I think the traditional software development process, you know, you go off and gather requirements, mm-hmm. you know, design the system in a vacuum. You know, all these websites that are in stealth mode, you know, like the system is closed until they're ready, you know. I sort of worry about that, because that's every day that you're in stealth mode and not out there, that's, you know, users you're not picking up and stuff you're not learning, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, I've never really worked in, I guess I have, but a long time ago, in a traditional technology environment. When I, you know, but my last sort of career was, I had to develop software, but it was I basically made automated trading systems, right? So if your assumptions are wrong, you're going to lose money. So you actually had to go back to the market, understand what's happening, you know, change things, learn more, and then, you know, iterate very, very quickly. Otherwise, you run out of cash. So, you know, I think definitely, you know, you have to have a very tight update cycle. Lately, we just pushed a release out, and it was very stressful because it was something like 20 days since our last release of code, right? And that was very stressful because it had been a very long time for us. Mm-hmm. You know, usually it's two or three times a week that we push the code out to the live site.
Is there a reason that the
Yeah, we just when I built that was like the third feature in or something like that, and when I had one tiny little machine and I never got around to it. So the JavaScript is really sort of intended to replace the HTML feed.
I've got a question over the IRC. So
Come on. Eisenberg is writing it, wants to know more about group tags, wants to know to what degree they are private. Would other people see them?
There's not going to be any privacy on tags. I'm not sure that makes sense, although, you know, I guess I could be wrong. The items could be private. And then if you don't have access to that, if an item is private and the item is tagged as for you or for a group that you're in, you'll be able to see it. Otherwise, not. So items will have privacy, but tags or groups may or may not.
Have you thought about the Google and China problem? Will people be able to see that there are items there that they can't see, or will they?
No, they will just be hidden.
Okay.
You're the initial coder, and I assume the chief architect. What other roles are you playing in the company, and how did that come
about? I'm also head fundraiser and CEO and so on. We're definitely trying to hire folks. I have 8 now, and still trying to hire more. I have someone doing system administration, which is nice, so he gets pages all night long, not me. Just continuing to try and hire people.
How many coders do you know?
All but 2 are coders.
So, one tag rather than two tags, something like this terminology. What other words do you think would be better off having this word?
Yeah, it was inadvertently clever. I wish I could have claim I did it intentionally. Certainly, they were called tags in my original database schemas from the predecessor project. That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I think tags are typically when you look at some corpus that has keywords associated with it, you don't see a big list of all keywords. right? So you have, you know, you have your 1,000 documents and they have keywords that go with them. Very rarely does anyone present the keywords aggregated across the system. So maybe you know, tags are the aggregation of keywords. So it's not so much that there's anything different, but the aggregation thereof, right? I don't know. I mean, maybe it is a slightly new thing rather than just renaming the keyword itself. And we always get a nice little icon that goes with it, the tag instead of a key. I'm not sure I'm smart enough to answer that question.
Why you do this to me?
Okay.
I have nothing to say at this time.
It's interesting. I mean, I thought a bit about how to extend. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go into Delicious very easily, like events, which are, you know, some URL and a date. You know, a lot of things that are sort of very nearby to the space. And I can imagine that people would want to have actions done on them. You know, some sort of simple scripting or something like that. Although I haven't really, I guess that's a bit out of the blue. I haven't really thought about that too much.
Can I ask a follow-on? Are there going to be more and more? Right now, it's free tagging. Any word and can be in any context up to the user. Do you see heading towards providing for events, for example, fields that you get to fill in where they're predictable?
I mean, in the future, I'd like to store more rich data types, but that's not going to happen immediately. I'd like to do contacts and stuff, you know, as well. I mean, right now a lot of stuff, like for example, events, you can make a date tag, and if you look, I've actually, you know, tinkered with that in my own account. There's no software support for it yet, but, you know, it would be fairly easy to get a calendar out of the system at some point if anyone else did that.
What does it mean to make a date tag?
Just date, colon, the date.
Okay.
You know, so lots of simple metadata actually fits right into the tag. The issue, and I guess this came up a lot at the Web 2.0 panel, which was, you know, is any metadata a tag? And obviously that's not the case, right? So one thing I've been thinking about how to, you know, when you look at a post, right, there's a couple things, right? There's the link, the URL, which does not belong to you. It's some absolute thing, right? There's the description, which belongs to you. The time you posted it, I'm not sure, right? The number of other people who bookmarked it definitely doesn't belong to you, right? So there's a range. There's stuff about the URL, stuff about the post, stuff that belongs to you, stuff that doesn't belong to you, right? So say you bookmark an Amazon thing, right? An Amazon thing has, you know, I could probably figure out how to extract the identifier. I could go get the book cover out. I could go get the name and price and so on, right? So there's a bunch of metadata that's associated with the object. You know, and then the question is, how do you represent all those things? What's the structure there, and so on and so forth? I think the thing to do is figure out the performance problems we have now, and then move along to the next. You know, when we have more scale later.
Adam Bosler talked about a more decentralized structure of the virus that's fine. As long as the performance has been problematic, I've imagined that. My own little Delicious, where I would keep my bookmarks, it would be the server, so that I could just put it anywhere. But then when it added something to it, there was something off to do.
And there is an API, so you can do that.
Okay. But that larger picture of more decentralized storage, right now you're very centralized.
Yes.
I'm not in the data center. But do you see support into that? I mean, do you see less pencil line than we like.
Well, it's interesting. There's a tension, right? There's as a systems architecture, decentralized is obviously a lot more attractive of a system, right? The aesthetic is, it's a prettier way to do it. As a centralized system, we learn a lot more about the user's interaction with the thing, right? So, for example, spammers don't, actually ever browse their own tags, right? In a decentralized system, I can't ever really know that, right? So at one side, it's better performance. On the other side, it's harder to get more access to what people are doing and thus, know if they are real humans or bots or whatever, right? So I think, some people will have different needs and will go elsewhere. I haven't really figured out what the, I have trouble enough with one system. I don't know, many seem even more painful for now. That's a group of. Right. So. That's interesting because that's user groups rather than sort of posting groups, right? So not is everything you post NPTech? Right. So, for example, so a group is going to work like a tag, so that you would create a group about, China or something like that, and then invite the people into it or let them join it, depending on the rules you set for the group, right? And that would be the sort of replacement for a group, right? So it would be opt-in individually. With the inbox, you can say that, your China inbox label is, this guy's China, this guy's Asia, and this person's something else. You can already do that now. Although I'm not particularly thrilled with the way the inbox works right now. So there's groups where people are opting in or joining the group, right? There's another kind of group where you're identifying a feed that you want, which is not really about grouping the behavior, right? That's sort of one way, right? So there's a whole bunch of different activities here that are very close conceptually, and we have to figure out what the appropriate interfaces are. We've got something called the network coming, which is basically identifying users as being in your network, right? I originally called it friends, but I realized that was kind of creepy. So basically you identify people as being in your network, and then you would just get a feed of that or be able to interact with them somehow. But there's something like that where your people, you're identifying some person's sub-aspect as being in a collection, and then there's the third, which is active group participation, where people are saying, this thing that I'm posting should also go to group : Global Voices or whatever.
So, Rebecca would be able to say the following, 10 people are in my network and subscribe to a feed of people in her network who are only the post they tag as China or Asia or whatever.
Well, that's still...
Is that what you want, Rebecca?
Options, I can subscribe to the single person feed or whatever.
So group is going to work something like a tag itself, right? It will be implemented as a tag. So things that are tagged as group, colon, Berkman, and China, and you can get a feed of that. And then maybe, you know, so that you'd have to have... So, I mean, the question is, when you say that these people are in a group called Berkman, is that a globally visible group, or is that just your version of that? You know... If they're a member of a group, we're going to present more information about them being in the groups that they're in. So there'll be more information about that in the interface, so that they'll be more cued to do that.
Yeah, because I think it would be most effective if, you know, people kind of join the group or a part of, or designated part of the group, and then whatever their tag is, their flag is being in that group, rather than having them
in the room. And are they... That's interesting. I mean, I thought about having associations of letting a user associate their account with some other system.
Right.
Like, say, I mean, one thing I'm wary of is trying to build up the Delicious community, right? Because there are plenty of other communities, and I just want them to use Delicious without having to be a member of the Delicious community as well, right? Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're trying to do, but I don't think that's the group's functionality. That will be external groups or affinity groups or something like that, rather than participatory groups, which is what we're going to do next. Lots of people do that.
Can I ask just one clarification question about networks? If I declare a network and Rebecca is in it, does Rebecca necessarily know that she's in it?
No.
Okay.
That's creepy. So.
Well, it's flickered pretty much.
Yeah, every time I get an email that some random person marked me as a contact, I want to rip my face off. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the first I'm hearing of this, so I haven't really...
This is a miscommunication between me and whoever is officially invited, but the general mode is, what is the hardest problem that you face that this group could help collectively?
The hard problems are generally... the stuff that I've been thinking a lot now is generally pretty prosaic. Scaling, interface, that kind of stuff. I'm not sure there's any, you know, giant moral... I'm sure there are, but I just haven't really had time to sleep enough to think about them. I don't know. Right now I'm trying. I mean, there's the inbox thing where you can subscribe to a person tag, or a tag, right? Subscribing to tags, I think, is largely useless, right? People are very bimodal. Almost nobody subscribes to a person/tag, right? And then, so people are either subscribing to tags somewhat or people, right, only. And lots of people subscribe to people only. So what I want to do is make the network be things like, for example, if you bookmark something in your bookmarks and you have it in your notes, we finally changed the name of extended to notes. If someone else in your network has notes on that thing, you'll be able to see them right there in your bookmarks, right? There'll be a Firefox thing where you can, if you go to a page and someone has someone in your network has left notes on it, you'll see that right on the in the sidebar or something. If we ever figure out how to do Firefox plugins, they're not documented very well. So the Mozilla folks are helping us. So there's a lot of stuff there. I sort of already made the decisions. I'm not sure if they're right or wrong yet, but I just sort of, for example, if you add me to your network, I can't tell. Like the inbox, someone can poke around and actually go into your inbox and see who you're subscribed to. And that's sort of neat and also kind of weird. And a bunch of people are freaked out by that when they realize you can do that. So in the next version, you're not going to be able to see that. No, you can't. I mean, they can subscribe to your RSS feed anyway. Right, so they could get at you elsewhere, yeah. I sort of tried to be more explicit about it this time. First of all, inbox is badly named because it doesn't even make sense for what it is, right? But, like I said, it was originally called friends, but, would you be marking things that people you don't know as friends? That is a little weird, so let's not, explicitly label the name of the relationship. It's just there is some relationship, that kind of stuff.
Do you expect how many people set themselves up on Dorothy and then never come back?
About a third. Yeah, so we actually have pretty good usage from someone. When someone actually does sign up, they just sort of understand the point. And
many people use IRC
not too many. I still want to put more support in for that kind of stuff, including extracting stuff. Amazon is one of the top bookmark things in Delicious, actually. We don't separate out just the hosts generally, so I just did a dump and actually was looking at that last night, and the actual top bookmarked sites are actually pretty surprising. The number one bookmarked site is Delicious itself, which was really surprising. Why?
Because I do it all the time.
Oh, really?
Popular. In other words, I love Spanish, and some guys that I love, it's always a popular list. If I'm looking at that, it reminds me, oh, there's a good source of information.
Gotcha. I still wouldn't have expected it to be number one. Up there maybe. Number one is weird. I sort of assume that a lot of people bookmark the about page and stuff, by accident. Amazon, Microsoft is heavily bookmarked. The BBC, Washington Post. So a lot of news, which also surprised me because most of those URLs evaporate. I see. So they know not to bookmark the New York Times, but okay. So that was pretty interesting. Sure, why not? But that involves less work than money. We actually, there was some code in to deal with this, and I guess we must have reverted it by accident because there was an incident this morning, which I have to deal with. In general, it's not that big a deal. We have an incident every 2 days or so, which is not that hard to deal with, and they pop right out as outliers. So, the problem is not so much, actual spammers are pretty easy to identify. Right, it's the things that are folks who are trying to argue with us and say that they're being helpful. Like for example, I had a guy bookmarking. He had a website that took every Wikipedia page and it published an RSS feed, some 1.5 million pages, an RSS feed of changes on the Wikipedia pages, and he wanted to bookmark every single one of them. And that would be useful to people, sure. There was another guy who's bookmarking Washington Post articles with, incredibly in-depth, it was very accurate what every article was about, the author and so on. But again, that's metadata, not people trying to remember. He was not using it to remember anything. He was trying to push stuff into, raise other people's awareness of issues and provide RSS feeds and so on. And that was, So I'm saying, and I cut him off, right? Because he was also bookmarking lots and lots of things. I said, is this for you that other people look at, or is this for other people? And he sort of answered each question two different ways. And the question is, you know, what? How does that? You know, that is sort of a challenge. Is that spam? I mean, it's obviously. And he was saying, well, it's the Washington Post, so obviously it's not spam, right? But anytime that I think that people are sort of trying to divert attention, whether or not it's a good cause or not, I think is can be, you know, when it's unwelcome, that is sort of spammy, right?
Well, this last anecdote, a number of things you said show you have pretty good intelligence about what the users are doing. Are you getting this by just ad hoc writing, hacking your code to look at savings, or are you building systems to monitor this kind of stuff? And if you are building systems, you get a sense of what percentage of your development effort is going forward about.
I mean, we wrote the entire thing, so we just add in little hooks and stuff to log things as necessary. And we're not doing too much of it. A lot of the behavior comes out on top. Like, for example, the number of tags someone uses, the number of different sites. And like, so if a guy has more than 10 items bookmarked and one site only, well, that's a little weird, you know. So we just sort of plot them out and see what the far outliers are. So right now, it's not particularly challenging to identify. We'll build more over time. It's not a chief concern right now. Again, my background is, you know, analyzing bulk data, so I have some background there. I'm generally wary of that. Like, for example, if I monitor the number of times a URL was clicked on, right? If I could monitor that, that's one thing. If I publish what are the most clicked on URLs, that's certainly a high score list that people are going to try and get on, right? There's a lot of stuff that's not in Delicious, but in the clones and competitors, not because we couldn't figure out what the most bookmarked thing is or whatever, or the most active users are, but because I don't want to present, you know, high score lists for people to try and get on in general. So a lot of that stuff I have to be very careful with. You know, popular is sort of skirting the edge of that, but you know, in general, that's pretty challenging. What data exposed deeply affects people's behaviors, and I have to understand what behaviors that, you know, aggravates or dampens before we do it. So right now, it is pretty scarce intentionally.
Two quick things. The first one is, I guess, Firefox about being integrating this kind of thing directly into the point structure that they.
I think they're in a tricky position. They're interested in that kind of stuff, and you know, the Flock stuff, and everybody is trying to get a leg up on what's the next generation browser. So everyone is interested, but I think there's a lot of politics there.
The other thing is, you mentioned the distinction between metadata and tags. Do you think there's some? And you made it clear that you think there's a fairly good distinction there. Do you think that? Then there is a niche for something that is basically Delicious but with a more metadata oriented.
That's called faceted metadata. The faceted metadata browsing. There's a whole class of people doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. So there's quite a lot there. Thanks for coming.